Welcome back on this Friday edition. Great to have you with us. And this half hour being brought to you by, as we head into the weekend, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You need to stock up for the weekend now. You need to start stocking up for the 4th of July. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right? It's going to be. And next week is going to be hot. I mean, I'm talking, at least here in State College, they're talking about low 90s next week. So, look, you need to just stock up on the beverages now. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, lots of water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by my two personal favorites, the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. By the way, it's Father's Day weekend. So Father's Day weekend, here's an idea for you. How about a Brewers Outlet gift card? Yes, a Brewers Outlet gift card. Now that will put a smile on Dad's face. That'll put a smile on Granddad's face. Okay, just something to think about. You know, you're stuck on a gift idea. A Brewers Outlet gift card is probably the one that's going to be, it's going to end up being easy for you to take care of and put a smile on their face. A Brewers Outlet gift card for Father's Day. That's right. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And as always, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Look, you can always talk. So one thing about the NFL, you can always talk about the NFL, even the dead time of June. You could talk about the NFL, and that's what we're going to do with the Hall of Famer, Ray Dittinger. As always, Ray, great to have you back. Ray, here it is, June. It's, you know, usually the dead time of the year with the NFL. But it's amazing how the NFL seems to dominate the news cycle no matter what. When do you recall in your career where that started to be the pattern where the NFL dominated no matter what the season happened to be?
I think it was probably the, you know, when the draft... You know, when the draft became a thing, you know, the when ESPN was born right around 79, 80, and they began televising the draft live, which nobody thought could possibly work as on TV. But millions of people tuned in, and all of a sudden the NFL had a second season. And it became the draft, and then they just from that point on they just very carefully strategized all the other stuff and worked around it with the the free agency and then the mini camps and then the combine, and they've now created a 12-month a year NFL season where the NFL and the release of the schedule, which now becomes a primetime show. Yeah. I mean, who saw that coming? So the NFL has very cleverly designed this thing in a way that they're in the news 12 months a year, and that's one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons why it's the biggest sport in the country by leaps and bounds.
And part of that too is I feel like they've decided to say, you know, we're the NFL, we can venture into anybody's territory. The NBA at Christmas Day, now the NFL's taken it over. What I found interesting, though, is that they scheduled two games on Saturday the 21st, which is the opening round of the college football playoff. And they've got, and it's the four teams that'll be playing on Christmas Day. So I understand the thought process behind it. But college football is the feeder system for the NFL. Why would they do that, in your opinion?
Because they can. Yeah, and because they're the
exactly.
NFL.
Yep.
Yes. they've got the Eagles are kicking off their season on a Friday night, playing in Brazil.
Yeah.
And the NFL always said, well, we're never going to play on Friday night because that's for the high schools. Mm. you know, Friday Night Lights. That's when everybody wants to go support their high school team. Well, when the NFL had the opportunity to put a primetime game there and kick off the Eagle season and play the first game in South America, they forgot all about the high schools and said, yeah, let's go for it. I mean, they're, I actually think, Steve, I don't like it. I'm sort of old school in the sense that, you know, when I grew up with pro football was a one-day-a-week operation. I mean, it was, everything was played on Sunday. There wasn't even any Monday night football then. And it was great. I thought that was one of the things that made it great was there was a rhythm to it. You know, I mean, you just, you played on Sunday and then you had the rest of the week to prepare and look ahead to the next game. And, you know, and then you played the next week and there was that nice little bit of lag time. And every game became an event. Every game became special. And I think the way they're going now, you know, with, you know, games 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock on Sundays and Monday nights and then Thursday nights and showcase games at the end of the year. You know, I mean, there's a little bit of that special quality that's kind of gone now. And I think, I don't know that the NFL will ever suffer by overexposure, but I think that there's a diminishing returns thing that in terms of, for those of us that remember when football was one day a week, I feel like something has been lost.
See, I've always been one that was the same as you. Friday's high school, Saturday was college football, the NFL was Sunday. So you and I are the exact same when it comes to that. Yet I will freely admit to people when college games are played on Friday night, I'll say, hey, that's for high school. And I'll freely admit, I'm one of the guilty parties. I'll watch the college game on Friday night. So, you know, I am guilty of being a hypocrite when it comes to it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Steve. But I, you know, I'm look. There's no bigger football zealot than me.
Right.
I mean, I am all in for sure. But I do feel, I mean, there are sometimes Thursday night football. If I look and it's, you know, it's Tennessee against, you know, you name it, Tennessee against Cleveland. I might not watch.
Yeah,
you know, I really might not watch. I may
agree.
Just I kind of feel like, you know, I need a break. I need a break. You know, I'll be there on Sunday when they kick it off on Sunday. But right now, you know, I don't need to watch, especially when you see, you know, the Thursday night product, which I think is so often compromised. I just think it just seems so inherently unfair to me. That they ask these teams to play on Thursdays. You know, I mean, Thanksgiving was a special, everybody understood Thanksgiving was one special Thursday that you played. But to force a Thursday night football into a 17 game schedule, every week to me just seems like it's unfair to the players who have to play in those games and the coaches who have to prepare.
Yeah, exactly. I also think it's unfair to the fans because they're getting an inferior product on Thursday night because of the circumstances.
Right. Yeah. And there's the other part of it that is, I don't want to use the term hypocrisy, but it maybe that's what it is. But I mean, whenever you see Roger Goodell make the statement that, you know, well, the most important thing for all of us is player safety. You know, well, really? I mean, you went from a 16 game schedule to a 17 game schedule. We're heading on to an 18 game schedule. Yeah. You got teams playing Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays. Mm-hmm. But you're going to tell us that player safety is what you're concerned about? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's because one of the bigger parts of the NFL season now is called the attrition rate, which you brought up the 18 game schedule, which I was going to talk about. What is your thought about going to 18? Look, Goodell's wanted this for years. The NFL owners have wanted this for years, an 18-game schedule. They've been doing it incrementally because they've had to. But what's your thought on it?
I don't like it. I mean, I know we all knew it was coming, but I don't like it. I just, the owners will do whatever they can to monetize the product. I hate to use that term, but that's the term that they use, the product.
Sure.
And I just think it's wrong. I mean, it all comes down now to not the best teams who's going to win it, but to, you know, which teams are still standing at the end of the year. And, you know, the league is trying to say that, well, you know, we'll get it up to 18 games now, but we'll only go down to two preseason games. So it's really going to be the same thing. Well, no, it's not. I mean, the real players, the veteran players, they're not playing in the preseason.
No.
You know, they're taking a preseason game away doesn't help them at all. If you're tacking another regular season game, well, yeah, they're going to play that one, and so you're making them play an 18 game season. You know, you use the term attrition, Steve. That's the only way you can describe it. I mean, that's the reality of the NFL. And when you see what these guys go through, you know, it just really bothers me that at a certain point, there's a part of me that I just say, you know, how much money do you guys need to make? I mean, really, aren't you making enough now? You know, to use the old, the movie Wall Street line, you know, how many yachts do you want to water ski behind? You know, I mean, it's, at a certain point, make decisions that are in the best interests of the game. Not necessarily the best interests of your bottom line, but the best interests of the game. And I'm not sure, and I really don't feel that an 18-game regular season is in the best interest of the game.
But here's the other part, too, under the category of how much money do you want. They're trying to internationalize what's going on. So there's a couple of games in Germany. We all know about England. Now this game in Brazil. It's the fans of Philadelphia, as an example, that built your league. And you're taking a game away from them to move it to Brazil? That group in Philadelphia built what you have today. They're part of the foundation why you even have a shot at making all that money. You're taking games away from them. See, I'm bothered by that.
Yeah, I am too. And they try to explain it by saying, "Oh, this is a great opportunity for the people in Philadelphia that they can all go down to Brazil and see the game, and you know they'll make a great trip and they'll go someplace they probably would have never gone otherwise, but now they get to go and spend a weekend in Brazil and listen, they will. I mean, I guarantee you that when you tune in that game, it's going to sound like Lincoln Financial Field because there's probably going to be 30,000 Eagles fans that are going to be there because that's the way they travel. I mean, everywhere the Eagles go, there are that many people that go with them. But does that make it a good idea? I don't think so. And, you know, I just think that with all the things that are involved with that kind of travel and everything that's involved with taking a football team and moving them to another country and playing in a strange surroundings and all that kind of stuff, I just don't think if the idea is putting the best possible product on the field, which is kind of what I thought that the league should be doing and the commissioner could be concerned with, then I don't think that that's serving that purpose. You know, will you sell more T-shirts in Brazil? Will you sell more hats? I guess so. But is that a really good reason for doing it? I don't think so. I would rather just, you got a game to play, play it in Philadelphia.
Well, because, again, it goes back to what we just talked about. Right? When you look at the game being moved out of there, we're going to go to an 18-game schedule. That'll be more home games for everybody. Not necessarily they're moving them all over the lot. And the fans here then have to pay extra money to go see them play in Brazil. I mean, you already have season tickets. How much more money do you need to keep putting in to see the team play?
I know. That's the, unfortunately, that's the mindset now. And, you know, that's why when I first got into the business and I first started covering the NFL in 1970, I mean, a lot of the old owners were still around. I mean, you know, Art Rooney was still around. Wellington Marrow was still around. I mean, you could talk to these guys. George Halas was still around, and you could talk to these guys, and they were true sportsmen. And you know, they were the guys that started this league, and they started it for the best of reasons. They wanted to put the best product on the field, the best players, and they feeling that the best players would create the best game, and that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what they built, and good for them. But the problem is, subsequent generations of owners bought into this for very different reasons. I mean, they got into this to make a lot of money and sell a lot of product and develop a tremendous amount of social clout, which they've done. But at the expense of the game, I think. I mean, I can't tell you how many long conversations I had with old Art Rooney, the chief, yeah. And when he would just sit there and tell stories about you know, when Wizard White played for the team and Johnny Blood was the coach and you didn't know if he was going to show up from one week to the next. And that was, you know, that was the foundation that the NFL was built on, and that was part of its charm. But I think over the years it's grown tremendously and it's now infinitely more lucrative. But is it better? I don't know that I could say that.
Well, I mean, let's face it, the old guard owner would be Pete Rozelle when he wanted to get one TV contract and split the money, went to Wellington Mara and said, hey, look, because New York could dominate whatever they wanted. And Wellington Mara thought it was best for the NFL if Green Bay had an equal shot as the Giants. I don't think there's an owner today that would do that, do you?
No. Oh, no. And that's, well, that's why they created the whole concept of revenue sharing.
That's right.
Which allowed the league to flourish and which allowed a franchise in Green Bay to not only survive but be able to be competitive with the New Yorks and the Chicagos and all of that. And that's, and yeah, I mean, that kind of feeling, that kind of collaboration, you know, the willingness, hey, guys, we're all in this together. You know, I don't think these owners feel that way at all. I remember interviewing Paul Brown, and Paul Brown talking about when he created the Cleveland Browns back in the 40s when it was the All-American Football Conference before they joined the NFL, that he had to pay the radio station in Cleveland to broadcast their games. He paid them to broadcast their games. Now you look at what the rights fees now, what radio stations and TV stations pay to cover the NFL games. You tell them about what happened in Cleveland back in the 40s, they say, you're kidding. But no, that's true. I mean, Paul Brown actually paid the radio station in Cleveland to carry their games. Well, you know, we'll certainly never ever see that day again.
How often have you ever talked with Roger Goodell? And when you have, what impression did he give you?
I've never spoken to him one on one.
Really?
I've been in a number of group interviews with him, but I've never had the opportunity to sit down one on one with him the way I did with Pete Rozelle back in the day and Paul Tagliabue. I just haven't had that opportunity with Roger. But you know, my view of him is that he's, he's a guy who's just, he's there for one purpose, and that's to serve the owners, you know, and it's all to do whatever they want to do to make more money. And I've always felt that it's the commissioner should be there to do one thing, and that is be the custodian of the game, the guy that makes the decisions in the best interests of the game, ultimately the best interests of the fans. So, you know, if I would think a real commissioner, if the NFL owners had come to him and came up with the idea of, hey, we're going to play a game every Thursday starting this season. You know, we're going to play Thursday night football, not just Thanksgiving now. We're going to play night games every Thursday for 17 weeks. A real commissioner would say, no, we're not doing that. What are you kidding?
Exactly.
You know, what are you asking the coaches and players to do? No, that's going to throw the whole schedule. No, we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we'll make a lot of money. Yeah, but it's not the best thing for the game. You know, that's what a real commissioner would do.
Right.
You know, but Roger is, you know, he's running a whole different operation with a whole different mentality. And the idea now is to make all the money you possibly can. And to that end, he's doing a fine job. But is he serving the best interest of the game and the fans? I don't think so. I mean, when you look at the schedule, when you look at what they do, I mean, playing regular season games in Buffalo in December and playing playoff games in Green Bay in January, you know, with people literally risking frostbite to come and see them. Is that the best interest of the game? Oh, you know, for prime time, I understand the advertising value of that, but is that really serving the best interest of the players and the fans? I don't think so, but they're going to continue to do it because it's lucrative.
Yeah, Miami and Kansas City was below zero at night and on Peacock. There's your perfect combination. All right.
Oh my! Hey, listen, my son was a cameraman at that game.
Yeah, that's right.
My son's a cameraman. He's a cameraman for NBC Peacock, and He shot that game in 40 degrees below zero. I have the pictures to prove it.
Man.
And he was fully insulated because he wore all the stuff that he wore at Beijing when he was doing the Olympics,
yeah.
And he was still cold. Was that optimum conditions for players, coaches, or fans? No. But you know, it made for good television, and everybody walked away richer.
Always a pleasure, no matter what time of the year. Ray, thanks so much.
I'm glad we finally connected there, Steve. Always fun talking to you, too.
Thanks. The Hall of Famer, Ray Dittinger. Always great to talk with him. And this half hour has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports Domestics microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Father's Day weekend, stock up and look for Brewers Outlet gift cards here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.